In terms of how, where it might go into the team, I think we have some more to learn in August, September before we get to that planning. Pretty clearly, as we've all talked about, you know, we need to score more runs to win more games. I think we're going to go, I believe we'll go into the offseason and into next year with a pretty strong base on the pitching and defensive side of the ball. We need to create more runs. And again, whether that's through trades or free agency or certainly continued improvement from players who are already here, that all has to happen.
Every time I think we're going to get some energy back in this show, I mean, we got two legit to quick on. We're dancing. We're having a good time. Then Ben Charrington starts to speak. And you basically folded yourself over and put your head in your hands.
Well, it just sounds like he's like, yeah, well, we go in a circle and then, you know, it's a round circle. And then whenever there's a round circle, you go around the circle and then, you know, you go around and then back around. And then if you don't go back around, you got to go the other way around. So the other way around is back around and then back around the circle. And, you know, it's a circle.
And the answer was to a question about the payroll. Like, Harry's punch drunk behind the glass.
That was tremendous by Dorn.
I mean, that's what every time he talks, that's what I think. Like, that's what it sounds like. You go in a circle and you go back in a circle and you go this way in the circle, you go that way in the circle.
But and even if
circle.
You go backwards, you'll start, you'll eventually get to where you started.
Exactly.
Time is a flat circle, yes. If you will. So he's asked about the payroll. Like, you're going to save money on David Bednar, on Key Brian Hayes, on Bailey Falter in arbitration, and you have expiring contracts. So $18 million gone with Hayes, Falter, Bednar, and Ferguson. Another $16 million comes off with Heaney, IKF, and Pham at the end of the year. And then that goes up to $23.3 million. And Jason Mackey did this math, so I didn't have to. $23.3 million if you include Kutch, Meza, and Borucki. And he asked the question, do you trust this Pirates regime to spend the approximate $41.3 million? You can't even open up the phone lines on a question like that. Of course you don't trust them. I could ask that question, 412-928-9370. What's the point in even going through that song and dance? We know what people are going to say.
Right.
And we talked about this maybe even yesterday, that if they move guys out and they acquire nothing burgers in return, and that's probably not fair to the prospects. I mean, maybe they'll turn into something in 2028. But you acquire guys that aren't going to impact this roster. And we said, Ben Charrington's going to get behind a microphone and he's going to talk about the savings and how they're going to utilize that for next year. And hey, look it, if we really did believe that was going to be the case and you had $41 million to spend, and they did spend $35 million two off seasons ago, including $10 million on Aroldis Chapman, if you really thought and felt good about them taking that $41 million and putting it into the payroll, and then a little bit of that $35 that you spent just organically, okay, you could.
Yeah.
You could add enough to this lineup to get them reasonably average to pitch your way into contention next season, but I don't trust that it's going to happen.
Well, why'd they move Falter then if that was the case? So that's the reason why I don't think that they're going to do it. So why you move a guy like Falter? He was cheap. What was the point of that?
He'll make a little bit more in arbitration, but yeah, your point's good. I mean, that guy, for what he provides, he's an absolute steal and a bargain.
If you're gonna allocate the money to getting players next year in the offseason by salary dumping, why to make your team better to be able to somewhat possibly contend? Why get rid of a Falter?
Yeah, you trade a Keller, you get a bigger return for Keller than they got for Falter. My God, and you've also saved 15 or so million bucks. Yeah, I think you're right about that. So there's no clear direction.
No,
is the issue. And the biggest thing I was thinking about yesterday, maybe not. I probably said that four or five times. The biggest thing, a lot of big things. If when Derek Shelton was fired, Ben Charrington was fired, and they literally did nothing at the deadline, they'd be better positioned this offseason than going into next year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a hot take. I think that's just legit.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another thing I was thinking about yesterday. And I'm serious about this. the chances of them being a better team last year or not next year are not very high. Then you've got the looming lockout in 2027. That's two more years of Skeens. You're probably going to trade him halfway through 2028. That's when deals like that generally happen. You're not positioned to win in this Skeens window.
No.
So why not this offseason? And again, I'm serious. If they were to move on from Charrington, let the next guy determine the course of action here. Try to build around Skeens with the bare bones that are left, or try to trade him, and because you're a new GM, the new rebuild window starts. I mean, seriously, yeah. If you're not going to win with Paul Skeens, you're gonna get a huge return for him in 2028. Fact. You'd get more right now. That's not my preferred MO. I would have much preferred they bring in Major League bats yesterday and last year at the deadline and last offseason and this upcoming offseason. But if you're not going to position yourself to be able to win with Paul Skeens, what does he provide other than every fifth day we get to watch a legend? But they're not even winning the games when he pitches. And what can he provide that's actually more valuable than the assets that he would yield in a trade? I don't want to be talking about this, but they're not going to win the next 3 years.
He provides revenue.
Oh.
And that's what that's the bottom line.
Literally.
That's the bottom line of everything. He provides them revenue. That's all they care about.
412-928-9370. Rob in West Mifflin. Hi, Rob.
Morning, fellas. How y'all doing, man?
Good.
this is a joke, man. I mean, you know, I know everybody has jobs to do, man. Me as a Power fan, I'm going to listen, but I don't understand why everybody's so surprised at what he did. You know what I mean? I mean, we're all going to be frustrated about it, but I'm not surprised, man.
You know what, Rob? I expected it to not go like according to the plans that we had concocted. Yeah. I thought today when we flip on this Bucco game in Denver tonight that we might actually be seeing a player that could help this year's club.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that too, but reality is, man, he is what he is, man. You know what I mean? He traded, he said quantity over quality. Like, he'd rather have three mayonnaise sandwiches than have one turkey sandwich loaded. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand that. You know what I mean?
Makes no sense.
Rob, like, explain to me your sense, give me your ideal turkey sandwich, because there was a turkey sandwich on a commercial earlier, Dorn, and I got to say something.
Good.
I have, in over the course of my life, I've been a guy that stacks the meat on a sandwich. They did the whole fold the meat thing. Yep. Do you fold the meat?
No, I stack it.
I think I'm going to move forward folding the meat.
I'm going to try it.
It looked good. Outstanding. Rob, are you a meat folder or you meat stacker?
Folder.
Man.
Hey, listen, real quick, folks, I hang up. Who, I think, was on his show, man. Who goes to the bathroom and throws the toilet paper in a regular garbage can?
That was Mark Abali. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. He's not human.
Which is also analogous, I think, to the Pirates trade deadline yesterday. 412-928-9370. I mean, does anybody else have my mindset here where they're thinking, okay, what's the point of Paul Skeens being here if they're not going to win with Paul Skeens? 412-928-9370. It's not like that would be my preferred route going forward.
But you acknowledge that it's about revenue, right?
Yeah, and I do. People are going to kill me for this. I do think they can win. It's like it's the watered down version of the Steelers, man. I really watered down. I really think. I seriously believe.
Yeah, the Steelers are, like, actually close.
Watered. 50 feet of dirt. Peat. watered down version. I think Ben Charrington really thinks he's good at his job because he's built a good pitching staff. I really believe that. I think he thinks that they are close to being what the Seattle Mariners have become. This team that's been able to pitch but hasn't been able to hit, and I think he thinks highly enough of himself that he's going to be able to go out there this offseason and piece together a lineup that can score enough runs to get them into contention. I really believe he thinks he's good at his job.
Do you think that he really built a good pitching staff? Or do you think that he lucked into Paul Skenes and not drafting Dylan Cruz? I mean, it's a 1-1 pick. It's if you have the first pick and you luck into Paul Skenes, you luck into Jared Jones actually being a guy. Like, you think that he was like, Jared Jones is going to be like this big-time player. Now, obviously, he's hurt. Do you think that he's really good at his job whenever it comes to pitchers? Or did he get lucky with his job whenever it comes to pitchers?
If I'm going to kill him for the results on the offensive side, I will give him some credit for the pitching side.
You giving him full credit for Skenes?
Yeah, because some idiot on this morning show actually made an argument to draft Dylan Cruz.
I bet you that he did too, though.
Right, and I don't think it was this unanimous thing at the time. So am I going to plan a parade for Ben Cherington? No, but he did make the right decision with Skenes. Where he lucked out was that a 1-1 generational God amongst men was there.
Was there.
Yeah. It's like getting Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
Instead of Nail Yakupov.
Right.
Who the Oilers got way back when.
I could see
if they lucked into it that way.
I could see if 2 years ago, if they had the 8th pick of the draft and they drafted a player that was a good pitcher and then became Paul Skenes, like, immediately. Which I guess Bubba Chandler would be that, but he hasn't even been up here. So we don't know. I don't know. Like, I mean, if you want to give him credit, I can see that about the whole pitching staff deal and it being the most successful, quote-unquote successful part of this roster. But I don't know if it's more luck or actually he's really good at finding good pitchers.
Fair enough. It's honestly, it's a good conversation. I do think it's immaterial to whether or not he feels like he's good at it.
Right. True.
Like, he doesn't think he lucked in any of that.
No, he thinks that he was the guy. He's the man.
I think he thinks he's good, man. And he's won a World Series, and I think when you win a World Series as a general manager, regardless of what you've done other than that, you probably have a little pep in your step forever. And you feel like you walk into a room with all these other general managers at the winter meetings or whatever, and people think that you're a good GM. And you think you're a good GM. And here's the other thing. He's not going to be out of work. Like, he gets fired. If he gets fired, he'll go and be in a front office somewhere. He's not going to be the guy, I don't think. Probably ever again if it doesn't work out here, and it hasn't to this point. But we talk about Skenes and packing the ballpark relative to what they normally do whenever he pitches, and yeah, I think that's valuable to them, but I think they can win. They don't go about it the right way, clearly, but I think they can win. I do. And that might be the worst thing. Let's give Ben one more year. Why not? 412-928-9370.
What's his salary?
They don't know. We don't know. They know. We don't know. Of course, they know. I mean, Bob Nutting has paid general managers and managers not to work before. He did it with Hurdle, who was making more, you'd have to think, than Shelton was. Mm-hmm. And he did it with Huntington. So, I mean, there's precedent.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine if they got rid of him today? I don't know how I'd feel, because that's the thing they should do.
Right, but you're going to let him.
But he just did what he did yesterday. Seriously, if Shelton and Cherington were fired on the same day, when the Pirates are sitting there at 12-26, or whatever it was, and just some human being wearing a suit was occupying his office, and that man occupying a suit did nothing yesterday, they're in no worse of a position.
Nope.
412-928-9370. Your calls next. Your texts next. Your tweets next. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. A lot of Pirates talk today, obviously, and we want you to vent. We're venting. So that'll be next. Bottom of the hour. We've been asking for the Steelers to get a number two wide receiver since the whole Brandon Ayuk saga last year. There might now be an ideal candidate. So let's go pie in the sky with the Steelers at the bottom of the hour just to sprinkle a little hope on this here morning show that's supposed to brighten your day. 7:23, time to make the call to that Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. Just to recap, Key Brian Hayes gets traded to the Reds for Taylor Rogers, who then gets flipped, and Sammy Stafura, an A-ball shortstop. Caleb Ferguson gets moved to the Mariners for Jeter Martinez. David Bednar to the Yankees for the 8th-rated prospect in the Yankees system, the 14th-rated prospect in the Yankees system, and Brian Sanchez, whom I didn't even really look into. Bailey Falter to the Royals for Evan Sisk, a left-handed pitcher who has thrown in 5 games this year, and Callan Moss, a first baseman who's not inside the top 30 prospects for the Kansas City Royals. Funny story, went on Kansas City radio yesterday with our guy, Carrington Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted the skinny on one Bailey Falter. And I said, well, do me a little favor here. Tell me a little bit about Callan Moss and Evan Sisk. And he said, well, we've watched Sisk pitch, but I'm going to be honest, I don't remember Callan Moss. He didn't know
who
he was.
No idea.
Like the 78th ranked prospect in the Royal system. Flores is the highest rated prospect acquired. He's also Rule 5 eligible at the end of the season, thus meaning you're going to have to put him on your 40-man. None of the 7 position players acquired by the Pirates yesterday have a major league at-bat. Noah Hyles reporting that a source told the Post-Gazette that Bailey Falter was a non-tender candidate at the end of the year. So what, they're just going to let Bailey Falter walk? A cheap 4th or 5th starter with an ERA under 4. Okay. And, oh yeah, one last kicker here. Andrew Heaney, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, and Tommy Pham, all on expiring contracts. Well, they're gonna be Pirates the rest of the year. To the phones. Well, real quick. Bottom of the hour, we're transitioning to some Steelers talk. And we'll do a lot of the Pirates reaction today. Noah Hyles at 8:35. Jason Mackey from 9 o'clock until 10. But my God, we got to break it up. Sleazy in Bloomfield wants to talk. Hi, Sleazy.
Hey, how are we doing today, guys?
Good.
Yep.
Good. So the Pirates GM.
Yeah.
All right. So what's going on here is that they're letting him do all this little stuff that's not going to matter, so that the next GM that comes in has the excuse to do the 6-year rebuild again. And then in 6 years, we'll see it again. That's all these Pirates do is just rebuild, rebuild, rebuild. We're going to get prospects that are going to become the decent players so we can trade them for more prospects.
But you know what, Sleazy? It's so much worse than that, because 2 years ago, they start 20-8. Last year, they're a pseudo contender at the deadline. I mean, they're right in the thick of things. This GM was trying to win. He was trying.
Yeah.
And he hasn't. And Callis yesterday was talking about the pitching staff that Ben Cherington has built and saying you can't call him the worst GM in the history of Pittsburgh sports like Starkey has been want to do over these last couple of months. But I don't care how good the pitching staff is, man. Like, you can have a great defense in the NFL. Like the Giants. The Giants got a great defense. They got great defensive players. Dexter Lawrence. I mean, you can keep naming them. They won 4 games.
Right.
So you've done a bad job. Like, you can't build half the boat. You know what happens if you build half the boat? During the boat sinks.
Sinks, yes.
And then everybody drowns or gets eaten by a shark.
Yes.
But the front half, the bow of that boat, the stern of that boat, Doran, it's beautiful. They did a great, rich mahogany. It glimmers. You've got the gorgeous mermaid on the front that's exposing a little bit of nipple. Oh, it's beautiful, the stern of this boat. If you don't got a rudder and there's no place for the oars, the thing's going to sink. What am I saying?
I'm just letting you go. You're venting.
A trade the Steelers can and should make coming up in 8 minutes, but first, Sam in Midland. Hi, Sam.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Sounds like a nice half of a boat, doesn't it, Sam?
Yeah, it is what it is, you know.
What you got for us, buddy?
So I was actually waiting for the Steelers, because the Pirates season, it's over. They're horrible. They just don't want to win, as you guys said.
Sam, transition us by all means.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, the Steelers, I truly think they do not need to trade for Scary Terry. He wants more money than DK Metcalf. That's going to hurt our salary cap. We don't need that. I think we should get Justin Simmons on a 2-year deal, $10 million. With the player option of 1 year. So we have Jalen Ramsey happy in the slot with JPJ, and we have a true safety instead of a corner really doesn't play safety.
Yeah, fair enough, Sam. Justin like Simmons is a good player. You probably could.
I mean, Justin Simmons is still out there as a free agent. I mean, even if you sign him to a one-year deal, $10 million, that's just this year's salary cap. If you were to trade for Terry McLaurin, it would be next year's. It would start next year's. Well, you would have, obviously, to pay him this year a little bit, but the bulk of the money would probably come next year, and you can maneuver right. the cap. So I think you could do both.
I tried to talk there. No, right. Nothing came out. Right. That has never happened before. It's because I was waxing poetic about some half-nude statue on the front of a boat. Yeah, you could do both. I wouldn't even be interested in getting Justin Simmons for multiple years.
No, 1 year.
Get him on a one-year deal. Yeah. No one's given that guy 2 years.
No.
No one's given that guy 2 years.
No, not at this point. They would have.
Or they would have.
Right.
And he's a good player. Yeah. But... I mean, he fits into the bucket with all the other guys that they've acquired this offseason, or most of the other guys, long in the tooth, and you don't want to make a multi-year commitment. I would absolutely, though, make a multi-year commitment for Terry McLaurin. Mm-hmm. So we'll get into that coming up next. Terry McLaurin, the Commanders are coming off of a season where a rookie quarterback led them to the NFC Championship game, and now Terry McLaurin, because of the way he's been treated, has requested a trade. Man, they find a way to screw things up too, the Commanders do. We'll see if they honor that trade request. Bunch of betting sites have come out with odds on the teams most likely to attempt to trade for Terry McLaurin. Where do the Steelers fall on that list? We know they've got somewhere around $25, $27 million in cap space. We'll get to that coming up next. We'll get back into the Pirates, we promise. Texter writes in, Crowley, you and Doran ever get that oatmeal issue patched up? Texter alleged that I smelled like old oatmeal. Or I think it was you, and then a texter latched on.
No,
that.
No.
Oh.
No, the texter brought it up that Doran said that you smelled like old oatmeal, and I never said that.
Well, at any rate, I have switched to cream of wheat in order to try to curb the smell. You like cream of wheat?
Yeah, I haven't had it in a long time, though.
I actually haven't either. Cream of wheat, elite.
Yeah, I really liked that growing up. I haven't had it in 20-plus years,
man. I think cream of wheat is, I think it's better than oatmeal.
Yes, I would agree.
And I would take Southern grits
yes.
in the morning over anything.
Yes.
Harry, are you a fan of grits? Really sticks to your ribs.
No, not really.
Yeah. You like the savory grits with a little brown sugar in there, or do you
like
to
both.
Go with the... Yeah, right.
Yeah, I like them both. Mm. They remind me. I mean, I feel like that they're the same as cream of wheat.
Yeah, it always reminds me of vacation. We always had grits on vacation.
Did you?
Yeah.
Where'd you go to vacation?
Outer Banks.
Mm.
There's like three places people around here go to vacation: Outer Banks,
yes.
Myrtle Beach,
yes,
and then you'll get some people over at Ocean City, Maryland.
Correct.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Now you have broken the mold. You went to New Jersey.
Yes.
I did that once, but we wound up accidentally in a college. Like party spot, like where there's bumping clubs
where?
All up and down the boardwalk. I forget what the
Ocean
place. Belmar. I think it was Belmar, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Where like there was old prophylactics on the ground, used. It just stayed in the same spot on the sidewalk all week. I'd rather talk about this than the Pirates if it's
Me
not
too.
Obvious. Yeah. But, could significant playmaker watch? Rear, it's not so ugly head for the Steelers now in 2025. We know they were on the goal line with Brandon Ayuk. We know they got DK Metcalf. I think we all think the Steelers could upgrade again at wide receiver. I think Calvin Austin, a nice number three. Nice piece in the slot. Well, Terry McLaurin, he's requested a trade from the Commanders. They've bungled that situation real bad. Now, it could be a negotiation strategy a la Brandon Ayuk, which ultimately got Brandon Ayuk paid in the place that he preferred to stay for a team that he fancied a Super Bowl contender. Perhaps Terry McLaurin is just using this as leverage. If so, good on you. I think that's pretty good business. Should he get traded, though, I'm all over it if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers. For this year, it helps you. Terry McLaurin's a really good player.
Very good. Consistent.
Good route runner.
Yep.
Runs away from people. Every year he's putting up 1,000 yards. Steelers, I just looked. It depends on where you look. SpotRack's got him at $33 million in cap space. My own calculations had him about $25, $27 million in cap space. Either way, they can make it happen. Bring Terry McLaurin in here. I've gone to a bunch of different sports books to see which team has the best odds to acquire him. Now, the Commanders are still minus 250 to keep him. Patriots next at plus 450. They've got a ton of cap space still. Raiders plus 500. Titans plus 1,100. Chargers plus 1,100. Jets plus 1,300. Browns plus 1,400. Steelers plus 1,500. Vegas always knows.
Uh-huh.
Those are some long odds, though. Omar Khan has... He's wheeled and dealed, man, since he got into office. He's making a call on Scary Terry, don't you think?
Oh, for sure. I think he already has.
You think that would be a good move?
Yes. I think that makes him an instant contender this year. Instantly. Even with the tackle situation. But the reason why I would make a call, and I'd be definitely interested, is because he's probably looking for a longer-term deal, right? Let's say 4 years?
Sure.
4 years.
Let's say it's exactly the DK Metcalf deal.
What did he get, five?
5 years, 150.
If you get the Zach, if you get that deal, you're going to tell me that you have DK Metcalf and Terry McLaurin potentially for 4 years, 4 or 5 years, with a rookie quarterback? Like you're planning for now and the future. Like that checks two boxes. I mean, big boxes.
And you're not paying a quarterback for 4 years.
Exactly. You're going to have to find a receiver at some point next year, probably.
Yep.
That checks two big boxes for now and the future.
The question obviously now is, all right, what would it take to get him? And you're not going to give up a 2026 first-round pick.
No.
I don't think you can give up a 2027 first-round pick either. Because I think you might need both to get your quarterback.
Right.
Because they position themselves to be too good to be in the bottom 10 of the league to get a quarterback in that top 10 unless they jump up like the Chiefs did to get Patrick Mahomes from 27 to 10. And in order to do that, they had to move multiple first-round picks.
I'm giving up possibly a second round in Calvin Austin. I'm packaging Calvin Austin with a pick. Because Calvin Austin, we already think he's going to be lost in the shuffle now.
Right.
With the personnel that they're probably going to roll out there. I mean, he'd definitely be lost in the shuffle if Terry McLaurin's here. Like, he wouldn't even get a touch.
Would you do it if they needed an edge? Because they do need an edge. Would you flip a Highsmith one for one? I don't know that that gets it done. We're just spitballing here. Would you do a Herbig in a pick?
Yes.
I'd do a Herbig in a pick in a second.
I have Jack Sawyer.
You got the Jack.
I think Jack Sawyer is going to be a really good player. I don't know how much playing time he's going to get, but when he does, it's going to be significant, his production. I think he's going to be a very good NFL player, and I feel really good about his future as the Steelers. Now, there's still time to tell. Don't know the full body of work, clearly, because he's very new and rookie, but I would respect that if it was an edge, even maybe going as far as Highsmith.
The Steelers get knocked all the time, and for good reason, over the course of the last... gestures wildly, you know, last decade plus, they have not done a great job of drafting and developing corners. We'll see what happens with Joey Porter. I think obviously he's been pretty good, although didn't take a huge step this last year. They deserve benefit of the doubt on what they've done with edge rushers. Like Alex Highsmith's a third round pick. Herbig is pound for pound as a pass rusher, one of the better ones in the league. Look at Pro Football Focus. Just use your eyes. Like, as a situational pass rusher, really good at his job. I have a lot of faith that Jack Sawyer is going to be good, too, for those reasons. Plus, we got to meet him, talk with him, experience his vibe at the softball game. I think he's going to be a good one, man.
Yeah, for real.
For real.
Yes, definitely.
And they do develop that position well. Lest we forget, man, TJ Watt, the 30th pick in the draft, too. TJ Watt did not come here as a sure thing, and he's going to be a Hall of Famer. So they know what they're doing at edge. If it took parting with an edge to get Terry McLaurin, and then your rookie quarterback comes in next year, and he looks around, and, oh, shoot, I get to throw the ball to DK Metcalf and Terry McLaurin and Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth.
Man,
and
come on.
You're in a great position for that guy to get into the league and hit the ground running.
They immediately become top three, maybe top skill position in the league.
Yeah, I don't think it takes much.
I mean, because, like, I mean, you're passing Cincinnati because of the tight end situation, if you're talking about skill players.
I think their two guys are so good that
Terry McLaurin and DK Metcalf, that is pushing it.
I have a hard time going that far just because I think Chase is so above and beyond anybody else in the league, save for Jefferson. But yeah, you're right there.
Close.
You were right there. Close. And why did Burrow have success immediately? And I understand he was 1-1, but he came into a great situation. And that the line has been bad. But he does have those great skill position guys, and they put up points. Terry McLaurin, to your point, look at what he helped Jaden Daniels do last year. And that's what you got to be thinking about. Yeah, it helps this year. It helps big time this year. Sure. And you're going for it. And you would actually have to part from some futures, which is something that they haven't done this offseason. But you're also now following in the footsteps, as odd as it is to say, and as hard as it is, clearly, for me to say, in that Commanders mold, quarterback, rookie, let's go.
Yep.
See what we can do here. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
412-928-9370. What would you be willing to give up for Terry McLaurin, if anything? Let's have that conversation. And let's put the Bucks for a moment here in the rearview mirror at 412-928-9370. Chris Carter of the Post Gazette's going to join us at 8 o'clock. And then, again, we'll continue to react to everything that happened with the Buccos yesterday. The Steelers don't have the best odds, according to wherever you go, to find those things, to land Terry McLaurin. But they're on the board, baby. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Dorn and I are trying to cook up a deal to get Terry McLaurin, who's requested a trade from the Commanders, here to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yes, we'll continue to react to the Pirates, I promise. If you want to vent, we'll vent. We'll have fun with that. Noah Hiles at 8:35, and then Jason Mackey from 9 o'clock until 10. But Texter writes in, Steelers aren't getting McLaurin. Stop babbling about it. You mean just like they weren't getting Russ? Just like they weren't getting Fields?
DK Metcalf was, I mean, we threw DK Metcalf's name out there a lot, but we were like, eh, probably not. Then they do.
Then they do.
Hmm.
Rodgers. He's never coming, guys.
Yep.
He's never coming.
Yep.
Well, now he's here. Jalen Ramsey. Guys, why are you babbling on about Jalen Ramsey? Oh, I don't know, because maybe they'll get him. Jonnu Smith. Oh, crap. People killed me whenever I said the Steelers had checked in on Chris Olave. How could you not believe that they've checked in on Chris Olave? They're checking in on everyone. Omar Khan is out here. If you're available and you can help the Steelers, he's at least exploring whether or not to get it done. I don't see an argument on how Terry McLaurin doesn't help the Steelers this year and beyond. They've got, depending on where you look, $27, $33 million in cap space this year. They got a ton. And then next year, they're going to have more cap space than just about any team in the league. All the while not paying a quarterback. If Rodgers wants to come back next year, and you said this when we were at Studio B on Wednesday, he's not going to command a hefty pay raise.
Nope.
But if he retires, you're going with a rookie quarterback. And then you've got your third string quarterback on a rookie deal, and you've got your backup quarterback making $4.5 million next year. You're making, like, all told, you're paying, like, all told next year, in all likelihood, like $9 million for your quarterbacks.
Yes.
It gives you the luxury to be able to pay multiple wide receivers at one time. The Bengals have done it, and they're paying their quarterback. The Eagles have done it. They're paying their quarterback. They're paying a running back. You can do this. What would you be willing to part with to make it happen at 412-928-9370?
Not first-round picks.
Can't.
Can't do the first-round picks. Not at all. But I could probably manufacture, maneuver a way to package something. It definitely would have to be a player, and maybe your second-round pick for 2 years in a row. That's fine, because next year, probably, you know what they were going to do in the second round?
Draft a wide receiver, Dorn.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct. You know what they were going to do in the second round this year, probably, if they didn't get DK Metcalf?
Draft a wide receiver, Dorn.
That is correct.
And look, Terry McLaurin's a finished product. With any second-round pick at whatever position you're guessing, and some are going to pan out, and some are not going to pan out. That's life in the National Football League. You know what you have in Terry McLaurin. Now he's more expensive, a lot more expensive than that second-round pick would be. But now you have a rookie quarterback coming in next year, and you're not guessing on whether or not a guy who is here to help that guy will help him or not. Yeah, you can't give up a first-round pick in either of the next two years, though, because you're going to need that. You're probably going to need both to get a QB.
Yep.
412-928-9370. You can react to that on the text line. Also, the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Much more on the Pirates trade activity coming up. But next, we'll get our guy Chris Carter from the Post-Gazette. His thoughts on what it might take to get a Terry McLaurin. On whether it's worth it to try to make a play for Terry McLaurin. Plus, Chris has been at all these training camp practices, so he can give us details on what went down yesterday. Because I'm not going to lie to the listening audience out there, Doran, I wasn't exactly following it as closely as I normally do. Usually I sit there on days like yesterday and I'm like, oh, let's scroll, let's get some highlights. What is Tomlin saying? What's Roger saying? Oh my God, I don't know what the hell happened at camp yesterday. But Chris was there. He'll tell us.
Hmm.
Do you happen to glean anything?
Fights.
Nice. Who fought?
Jonnu Smith and Juan Thornhill twice.
This Juan Thornhill. I'll tell you. You missed it whenever I eviscerated Juan Thornhill after the first day he spoke. Because he's like, they ran me out of town in Cleveland. I'm like, man, your tape sucked. I'm starting to like him more and more, This Juan Thornhill. So we'll get all the goings on from camp yesterday from Chris Carter coming up next, plus his thoughts on Scary Terry. First, Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. It's Friday Night Lights tonight, Doran. For Steelers camp, it's going to be a high of 79 degrees. I bet you it's going to creep below 70 for that night practice. It's going to feel like a fall high school football game.
Fantastic.
The low's 59.
Great.